Hey Agita Nation, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the last season of I Got Tempted. For those who do not know, I Got Tempted is a podcast show that shares with you real tempting situations. And just the way I gave you tempting stories last season, I'm back to give you more tempting stories this season. As I share my temptation stories with you, I hope you're strong enough to withstand your own temptations. This is I Got Tempted, Season 2. How could you do this to me? After all I've done for you, for us, I regret the day I met you. Hey, this is the show I Got Tempted, where I share with you tempting experiences of people and their travails through it. I'm your host, Nie. Today's temptation came as a blast from the past. You see, I happened to be in the foreword of my alma mater when I sighted him. He hadn't changed a bit. He was still a lanky, tall fellow with a dashing set of white teeth. Although rumor had it, he had joined the force now. I thought with all the rigorous activities in the force, it would have changed or replaced his sunset complexion for a dark one. But I thought wrong. In fact, he was better looking. From where I stood, he was with his clique of friends back then in uni, shaking hands and laughing heartily. While congratulations on his recruitment came flying left, right and center. That was Faye. As I watched on, he took me down memory lane when it was the name on everyone's lips. What for? You'd have to sit back tight with a chill drink in hand to catch it. On good level, first semester, English and Literature Department. Mr. Eke has just bombarded us with his dictated notes on the foundation of English composition. And man, we were totally fagged out. He really did take pride in being the living computer of the school, storing age-long information in his head like reservoir. But with no gainsaying, it was really that good. As a newbie, I really didn't make much friends as I would have loved to. Not because I wasn't sociable, but because I was really sociable, but it is an irony. Anyways, after the class was over, I wanted to relax my mind, needed a place to unwind before the next activity. So I tagged myself with a couple of girls, headed towards the business center. In no time, we bonded, chatting ourselves away, talking about everything and anything as we strolled through the pathway. Among these girls was a beauty, Mercy. Oh my goodness, Mercy. She was indeed a sight to behold. She wasn't as tall as us, but man, she had it. The face, the smile, and even the hair. It remained small like this, twink. If we call her Mami Water, no jokes. Mercy and I clicked instantly. But so did she and Faye, a now 3-on-the-level student. I can remember the day they met. All in the name of, I can be your school father BS. As he passed by me, I could smell the fragrance of trouble. If only she knew what she was getting herself into. But this story is not about Mercy, but Debbie. Debbie was the delight of her family members, friends and foes. Everyone turned and perfectly chiseled, she was gifted with a kind heart and a generous hand. Debbie was the delight of her friends and family alike. Ebony toned and perfectly chiseled, she was gifted with a kind heart and a generous hand that fed many, including Faye. They met in their 100 level as classmates. She was rich and naive. He was outspokenly charming with an ambitious heart. He didn't quite have a posh on brigand, so he had to learn the craft of manipulation. And this he used on Debbie. When he started out, Debbie thought she had found one. Not minding that he couldn't meet up to a standard, she tried her best to meet up to his needs, even becoming Mommy Joe of the Colon Ministry. He was her first in everything, and she wanted to keep it that way. Faye, on the other hand, knew he had hit a jackpot. Man, he had the central bag of Nigeria and the love-struck damsel in his hands. He wasn't about to lose that for anything. Not until he met Mercy. Mercy was all he had pictured for his woman. She was everything like the figure eight. But hey, there was Debbie. How could he eat his cake and have it? There was only one way out. After Mercy and Faye met, they would be seen in places known to be lover spot. When confronted, he would bring out the old school father, I'm a school father shenanigans, and silencing the accuser. Well, concerned friends told Debbie about this development, but trust her, she was love struck. She wouldn't bulge. How could they tell her that her man is cheating on her with their school daughter? Can't they see the love in his eyes like she can? They are not going to ruin her relationship. So she thought. But this happened for months. The more she tried to fight it away, the more the rumors clustered in. Debbie, what is wrong with you? I think they worry you. Can't you read between the lines? Which kanja has they used for you? Tell me. I don't know. This was the words of Molly. Molly happened to be a friend of Debbie who grew up with her. She was this no-nonsense fellow who has got her back since their childhood. Babe, it's not like that. I know this girl in question. She's a cool child, like now in school picking, and you get many like that. So why this one would be different? Why would this raise eyebrows? Girlfriend, don't you see the way he looks at her? It's different. Even a mole can tell there's chemistry between Faye and Mercy. Girl, wake up and smell the coffee. This guy is taking your simplicity for stupidity. Molly, you will not understand. Later that night, Debbie confronted Faye about the allegations, but trust up, smooth operator. He fringed arrogance and annoyance and fired back at her for even believing those lies in the first place. Debbie was immediately humbled, like person with a pot of water for a body. She should have believed the man. He was saying the truth. She apologized for allowing her mind to wander wild. Now, as he is, to reassure her of his undying love for her. Faye took hold of Debbie's hand, pulled her closer to himself, and struck her back. And while he was at it, he nibbled at her yellows, telling and whispering to her how much he loves her and wouldn't want anything to come in between that relationship. Nice feeling. She loved the way those words raised the hairs on her body. No one was going to ever say anything or insinuate anything like that again in their relationship. She was going to put a hand on it. Omo, that was close, oh. Ah, this girl almost got me. Faye had her in his wits again. Had he not been so smart about the confrontation, he would have lost his money bag. This he thought about immediately Debbie left his room. He promised he was going to be careful next time around his rendezvous with Mercy. But, you know, you can never be too careful. Not when Nemesis knows your home address by heart. It all went down at the Miss Hope Beauty Pageantry. Tion, 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 tion. The royal-themed venue was filled to the brim. It was an event organized by the then escorts of the Queen Edith Female Hostel of the University. It was attended by la crème de la crème of the school, individuals who were names in the school, both past and present. Men in their tuxedos strolled in with their elegantly dressed women, exhibiting their pride and joy on the red carpet, while those that were single were not left out too. Those ones, they were struggling to stay not far from the glitz and glam that followed the evening. And the winner of tonight's Miss Halls 2013 goes to contestant number 5. Yay! Miss Mercy Essien. Whoa, my goodness. Yay! The crowd went ballistic. Hands were jamming, heads going up and down, concerting to the verdict. The cheers were deafening, but all of a sudden, a dashing shadow runs across the hall to the podium, holding and caressing the winner. Yet, he held her like a trophy he had just won, while she smiled back at him in recognition. Psst, babe, don't be a guy without. This question directed Debbie's attention to the stage. There she saw him, Faye, this time differently. His gestures at Mercy said a lot of unspoken feelings. His hands were all around the waist, receiving the star prize like he was the star of the show himself. As if that wasn't enough, he led this newly crowned queen out of the stage with no consideration of Debbie's presence, knowing fully well she was there, an attendant of that event. Debbie's heart slumped within its sheets. So, it was true. Fee actually was following this girl. I wish I knew. In confusion, she scratched her head. Fee has been playing her faithful for such a long time and she hadn't known. This event was the opener she needed to bring her back to her senses. Without saying night-night to her friends, she took to her heels and landed on a fluffy bed immediately she got to the four walls of her room. She yelled, "Oh!" Cursed, "Oh!" Yelled again. But this time, the pillows were in front of her, over her face. "After all I did for him. Like, after all I did." With the words she was muttering, it was all a waste. She was done, she thought. Done with the lies, done with the cheating, done with everything. But there was a problem. She was madly in love with him, with Faye Shire. Debbie chose not to confront Faye after the event, but avoided him like the 10 plagues of Egypt. He tried reaching out to her numerous occasions, but was always met with,
"The number you've dialed is switched off. Please try again later. Thank you."
And this he did for 3 full weeks. Her friends were happily ready to tell him about her absence whenever he came knocking. Faye became frustrated. Not because he couldn't reach Debbie, but money don't finish. The money's getting exhausted and he needed to meet up to his lifestyle. So he needed her at that time. Even though Mercy was his girl, but man, she was a bloody jam beater. Debbie, on the other hand, that was sure deal. Always coming true for him.
"Debbie, where are you?"
That question was about to be answered on his way home from a friend's place. Debbie was returning from her uncle's place when she smelt Faye's fragrance around the junction where she was going to get a bus. Trying to drive away the effect that fragrance brought to her, the devil appeared.
"Debbie, what is wrong with you? Don't you see the tons of messages I've left you in the past few weeks? Are you okay? Do you have any idea where I'd gone to such a search for you?
Answer me now." While the tantrums were flying left, right and center, Debbie stood up, just staring back at the sender.
"It's not you I'm talking to. It's not you I'm talking to, Debbie."
"Shut up.
Just shut up, Faye."
Those words wanted to fall off her lips, but no, they couldn't. Because at that time, what she felt was the adrenaline rushing through her emotional veins. She wanted to pay him back. She wanted to pay him back for the breach of trust and how it had its effects on her. Wanted to pay him back for the lies, for the cheats. Wanted to pour out her anger at the bodily frame in front of her. Wanted to rip the 10,000 naira turquoise blue shirt he has bought for her for his last birthday. Wanted to rip away the 45,000 naira shoes he had on his feet that accompanied it. But no, she just couldn't. Because in all her mental madness, she was just still. She said nothing. Faye knew at this point, something had gone wrong. In a bit to salvage the situation, so he thought, he pulled her closer to himself and nibbled at her earlobes yet again, telling her how much she has missed her, squeezing her tightly to himself. He knew that she loved it so much. His expression changed from anger to concern. While his lips spewed
soothing words to calm her aching heart. Many's words mixed with the nibbly feeling she was having at that time. The walls Debbie had built around her heart came tumbling down, like the walls of Jericho. She looked up in his face and saw the black eyes he had, as well as the thin lines that had grown across his cheek. And this was a result of lack of sleep. She wanted to treat that, wanted to comfort him. But hey, she had fallen again, falling back to a vomit. One more chance wouldn't hurt, right? I can just do it. So she thought, again, so much for revenge. Anyways, she took him back. Guys, she did. And they walked hand in hand back to the hostel like nothing ever happened, to the surprise of her friends. This time, her friends promised never to meddle in their affairs ever again. For the next few weeks, Faye was the perfect boyfriend. He was always there, meeting her up after lecture so they would walk home together, stop by her place numerous occasions to cook for her, even watch her sleep on times when he had to spend the night over at her place. It appeared for a while that Mercy did not exist. But hey, that doesn't mean that the leopard has changed his spot. Debbie and Faye are now in fonder level. They seemed like the perfect couple, but hey, not for long. This is because Faye had yet been seen again with Mercy at their rendezvous outside school. Remember, it was all, "I didn't do it, I was being lied on." But this time, it was in clear sight. Even though he tried covering up the first time, this time he couldn't. This is because we all know the popular saying, "Every day for the thief, one day for the owner." Debbie came in with her cousin to unwind for the evening. And there she busted him, all romantically involved with Mercy. The situation was so compromising that she needed not a soothsayer to tell her that something was actually going on. "How could you do this to me after all I've done for you, for us?" Amidst a sob, she continued, "You thought I didn't know? You thought I wouldn't find out about her?" This, she was pointing at Mercy. "You told me she was your school daughter. You said there was nothing between you guys." "Ah, I've been such a fool. I closed my eyes the first time because you said so. I believed in your love. But hey, you're doing it again? I can't take this. No. Just tell me one thing. What has she offered you that I haven't? What has she given you that I do not give you? Tell me, Faye, tell me." Tears came rolling down her cheek as she said this and immediately turned her back to leave the room. Faye ran after her. "I can explain. Please give me a chance. I can explain. It's not what it is." But it was too late. Faye tried reaching out to her a couple of times again. Even when he tried calling out to her during their final year week confession night that she was his girlfriend and nothing was going to separate them, when he was asked about his situationship between himself, Mercy, and Debbie, Debbie wouldn't budge. Because at that time, she wasn't seeing Faye her lover. She was seeing Faye a man. It struck Faye at this moment that he actually loved Debbie. But he was too blinded by the money that she was bringing in and the loss he had for Mercy. But it was rather too late. It was too late to turn the hands of time. I really don't know how things fared between them, that's Debbie, Mercy, and Faye. But I've heard over time that Mercy moved on from the situationship and pitched a tent on fine-looking rich Igbo guy, at least the beholder. Now a question, who lost now? Do leave a comment in the comment section below. And that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you wish to support what we do on this show, kindly share with your friends, families, and leave a review over on our Jamii platform. That's all for today, but I'll be seeing you in the next episode of I Got Tempted with Nye.
I Got Tempted was produced by Nye and Aiko Rizu. This episode was edited, mixed, and mastered by Kachi Onyenokwe. I Got Tempted It's a Jamit original production.